when it thought of them as real. Not a day went past but she regretted her curious ancestry, and then she'd wonder what it could possibly be like to walk the world unaware at every step of the rocks beneath your feet and the stars overhead, to have a mere 5 senses, to be almost blind and nearly deaf.
The children are well. I liked their paintings of me.
Yes, how is Albert?
He is well.
And not really have any small talk, Susan added to herself. There wasn't room for small talk in a big universe.
The world is coming to an end.
Well, that was big talk. When?
Next Wednesday.
Why?
The auditors are back, said Death.
Those evil little things?
Yes.
I hate them.
I, of course, do not have any emotions, said Death, poker-faced as only a skull can be.
What are they up to this time?
I cannot say.
I thought you could remember the future.
Yes, but something has changed. After Wednesday, there is no future.
There must be something, even if it's only debris.
No. After 1 o'clock next Wednesday, there is nothing. Just 1 o'clock next Wednesday forever and ever. No one will live. No one will die. That is what I now see. The future has changed. Do you understand?
And what has this got to do with me? Susan knew this would sound stupid to anyone else.
I would have thought the end of the world is everyone's responsibility, wouldn't you?
You know what I mean.
I believe this has to do with the nature of time, which is both immortal and human. There have been certain ripples.
They're going to do something to time? I thought they weren't allowed to do things like that.
No, but humans can. It has been done once before.
No one would be that Susan stopped. Of course someone would be that stupid. Some humans would do anything to see if it was possible to do it. If you put a large switch in some cave somewhere with a sign on it saying, "End of the world switch, please do not touch," the paint wouldn't even have time to dry. She thought some more. Death was watching her intensely. Then she said, "Funnily enough, there is this book I've been reading to the class. I found it on my desk one day. It's called Grimm Fairy Tales."
"Ah, happy tales for little folk," said Death, without a trace of irony.
"Which is mostly about wicked people dying in horrible ways. It's strange, really. The children seem quite happy with the idea. It doesn't seem to worry them." Death said nothing. "Except in the case of the glass clock of Bart Schuschein," said Susan, watching his skull. "They found that quite upsetting, even though it's got a kind of happy ending."
"It may be because the story is true."
Susan had known Death long enough not to argue. "I think I understand," she said. "You made sure the book was there."
"Yes. Oh, the rubbish about the handsome prince and so on is an obvious addition. The auditors did not invent the clock, of course. That was the work of a madman. But they are good at adapting. They cannot create, but they can adapt. And the clock is being rebuilt."
"Was time really stopped?"
"Trapped. Only for a moment. But the results still lie all around us. History was shattered, fragmented. Pasts were no longer linked to futures. The history monks had to rebuild it practically from scratch."
Susan did not waste breath saying things like, "That's impossible," at a time like this. Only people who believed that they lived in the real world said things like that. "That must have taken some time," she said.
"Time, of course, was not the issue. They use a form of years based on the human pulse rate. Of those years, it took about 500.
"But if history was shattered, where did they get..." Death steepled his fingers.
"Think temporally, Susan. I believe they stole some time from some earlier age of the world where it was being wasted on a lot of reptiles. What is time to a big lizard, after all? Have you seen those procrastinators the monks use? Wonderful things. They can move time, store it..."